Our next presenter is Haixun Yang, and the title of his presentation is Using Model Simulation to Quantify the Role of Dung Beetle in Dung Carbon and Nitrogen Decomposition.
Good morning, everybody. I'm very glad that so many people have talked about the dung beetles so that you understand now well enough about what they do and what their functions are in terms of decomposition. But now I want to try to use simulation modeling to see whether we can reproduce their functions and see whether we have a knowledge gap and how we can use a simulation model to make predict beyond experiments. Basically, I wanted to see a few words about how people simulate carbon and nitrogen decomposition. And then I will show the observations, of course, this is the basis for simulation, and then compare simulations against observations, and I will have some points to discuss. Basically, the most important factors for nitrogen and carbon decomposition include, of course, first of all, the process is largely mediated by microbes. Then the substrate quality or chemical composition or decomposability or resistance to microtides, no matter what you call it, actually that's basically the internal factor for the decomposition. Because if the thing itself cannot be decomposed, no matter what kind of conditions you have, nothing will happen. And then next, for carbon mineralization, nitrogen can be very critical. Because if you have a sugar solution there, you can let it stay there for ages, nothing will happen because there is no nitrogen available for microbe growth. And again, in terms of environmental factors, temperature can be very important, but it's not the only factor, of course. Because if, let's say, the substrate itself is very dry, just like we have a mouse here? No, we don't have. Just like the hay. The hay is organic material that can be decomposable, but if it's dry, although temperature can be right, still nothing can happen, or nothing significant can happen. And then the last point, oxygen. Oxygen can be a limiting factor if the process itself is limited by oxygen. Most cases, you may not observe that kind of factor, but in some cases, for example, if there is too much water, and then you have this oxygen that limits the process. And of course, when you consider all the factors, the overall decomposition speed will be limited or determined by the most limiting factor. So you have to determine whether it is the material composition itself, or it is the temperature, or is the nitrogen availability, or is the oxygen. So it can be tricky depending on environment, depending on the stage of the process, and depending on some other factors. Then the overall approach for simulating carbon decomposition, actually it's pretty straightforward. For anyone who is familiar with this curve, you can see immediately, you can recognize it, it is the so-called first order dynamics or kinetics. Because, well, in essence, what it says is the decomposition rate is a function of the amount of the substrate itself at that moment and characterized by this so-called K constant or decomposition rate. But in general, there are two ways approaching this. One is to split a substrate into different fractions, mobile or intermediate or some more resistant fractions, and then you use a similar function but with a different K constant to describe the individual fractions. And another way of doing it is you treat the whole substrate as a whole, but you allow the decomposability of the whole substrate to decrease over time. So this is a more straightforward and a simpler approach. And in this report, I'm going to use the DK model, the second one. And well, actually, you see, as old saying, there are many routes to Rome, and although they're different. And using the DK model here, basically, the in terms of mathematical functions, you describe this whole process by the amount of carbon that is present in the beginning, that is C0, and then you have R. R actually is the decomposition constant at the time of unit 1. And then you have a temperature function that is indicated by the F. Then you have another parameter is called S. S actually indicates the speed of aging of this substrate. So basically, if you use that function, you can describe this this process like in the left one, and then if you want, you can further describe the so-called decomposability of substrate over time using the right graph and function. Okay, so nitrogen decomposition. Basically, nitrogen decomposition goes with carbon. So that's the big brother and the small sister. So they go together. And in terms of nitrogen release from the substrate, it can be tricky because it is regulated largely by the CN ratio of the substrate, or you can also call it a nitrogen concentration. So what has been found is that if the CN ratio of the substrate is greater than 20 or 20, 25 something, then you will not observe significant nitrogen release from the process. And instead, actually, if the CN ratio is higher than 30, you should observe nitrogen immobilization. So this is a magic number of 20. And we can show this graph over time, the substrate, starting from the left with a high CN ratio, and then, through the process, the nitrogen will not be released. Actually, the nitrogen will be kind of immobilized. But once the CN ratio crosses this 20 number, then you start to see nitrogen release through the mineralization process. And the CN ratio usually goes from high to low. This basically is a diagram to show how this nitrogen release changes from immobilization to mineralization. Okay, this is a now I turn to experiment, and Pat and Ken have already showed this experiment design. Basically, we have two treatments. One is no beetle because we have a mesh covered the dung, and another one is without mesh, so dung can move there freely. And then the one experiment started in June, another one is 1 month later. And then there are several sampling times, including 1 day, 3 day, until 56 days after start. What's going on? Okay. Now, let's take a look at the observed role of beetle on the dung decomposition. This is a comparison of, now we are talking about the carbon, not the mass. This is the difference between my talk and the previous talks. For carbon, basically, for the experiment one that started in June, the beetle, the one with beetle treatment, clearly shows a kind of a faster decomposition. While for the experiment that started in July, it is just opposite. So at least from the carbon point, it is different from what Ken showed before, based on the whole mass. So carbon, of course, involves to calculate carbon involves the determination of the carbon concentration in the material. So this is basically what I have got from the data. This is, of course, the 2014 data. So, yeah, the finding here is that the role of beetle is not very consistent. Although in literature, it is, in most cases, it is a faster decomposition. But now let's take a look at how we can simulate this process. The first step of simulating this process is to calibrate this S value in the model. That is basically related to the overall conditions and the material itself. And on the left, it is the treatment without beetle. On the right is treatment with beetle. And after calibration, you can see the model can simulate the process very nicely. And the difference between these two is in the value of S. One is a high value, another is low. The long value actually means the speed of aging goes slower. So basically the overall decomposition goes faster. So this is what basically the difference between these two, or the function or the role of the beetles. The second study is to see the simulated versus observed decomposition and for the second experiment. So we use the first one for calibration. Now we use the parameters to simulate the second one. You see this, for treatment without beetle, the simulation agrees very well to the observations. So this is for the without beetle. And for the treatment with beetle, of course, it will not work because we have seen that it's not consistent. Now we continue for the experiment one to see how we can use the model to make predictions beyond the time frame of the experiment. Now in the simulation, we did it for 1 year. 1 year after starting in June. See kind of basically shows continuous differences too. And in the middle part of this process, it's not something wrong because it's very polite. Actually, it's because it's winter time. Winter time, temperature is freezing, of course, the process stops. And then once the spring starts, you see again the line changes is kind of slow. And then for nitrogen mineralization for the experiment one, if we follow that one, the first observation difference, that is the higher decomposition rate with beetles, the nitrogen mineralization based on the prediction of 1 year will be something like that one. So that is, with beetle, you will have a kind of a more nitrogen release from the dung to the environment, basically. Of course, this is on the basis or on the assumption that the observation of experiment one is correct. So now, let's say, what can we say about the role of a dung beetle on the decomposition? Whether it is speeding up the process or neutral or slow down. Most of the literature I reviewed, I found most studies actually were conducted in the 70s. They all suggest the kind of a higher decomposition rate with the beetles. That is consistent with what we have found from Pat's presentation and Ken. So basically, that's a kind of general conclusion. But of course, in what the data we have got so far for 2014, the second experiment does not agree with the first experiment. And yes, from the role of beetles, it's pretty kind of easy to understand for the speeding up, because the beetles break up the large chunks of dung and make balls, and they feed on them. And then the process basically changes the dynamic of moisture from the dung, because moisture, of course, is always lost if there's no rain. And this dynamics of moisture can change the dynamic for carbon decomposition. So my hypothesis here is that when the dung is full, of course, it contains a lot of water, and the high water content can kind of limit the oxygen availability. That can limit the speed of decomposition. But once the kind of flow is a little bit, then the speed of decomposition will be determined by temperature, basically. In this case, nitrogen is fine because CN ratio is below 20. And then if the dung continues drying, if the dung becomes too dry, then the decomposition process can be limited by moisture. So that means if the role of a beetle changes the dynamics of a moisture, then it may speed up process at some stages, and it may slow down the decomposition because of the speeding of the drying. So this can be the case. This is at least my hypothesis. We need to look at it more closely later. So this brings up my discussion point. That is, this is ongoing research, and we will report more later. And of course, we know that field sampling and the measurements of this type of study is very tough, and we know that the data can have some variation. We need to look more closer at data. And the dam, of course, they will dry, and they may dry quickly. And if they become too dry, then the decomposing process can slow down more. So that's kind of the tricky point. And of course, you see, when you simulate the process and make predictions, it has to agree with the experiment, because you cannot simply calibrate the model and write and make predictions, because you have to make sure first that your interpretation of the observation is correct. Otherwise, you simply have a set of data, calibrate the model, make projections, it can be right, it can be wrong. So that means when you use models for projections beyond your experiment time frame, experiment the spatial scales, you have to make sure first your interpretation of observation is correct, and then you can make the model to make a prediction that can be right. Otherwise, predictions can be wrong. Thank you very much. Yes. Well, actually, you can do even triple. Okay. Mathematically, you can be fine no matter what you do. However, from a mechanism point of view, you may run into problems with these fractions unless you incorporate the microbial itself. Because what is, for example, if you do the curve fitting, double, triple things, you will find with the same set of data, when you do double, triple, then the fraction, amount of the fraction will change. And if you have different conditions, but for the same material, the fraction will also change. That means the definition of the fraction depends on even conditions, which is not, which itself is a problem. But mathematically, it works pretty fine. Actually, that's very interesting, because I did some study on that one, and what I concluded is that yes, for modeling perspective, double, triple are all fine, but from the perspective of understanding the processes, it's not very very good. Yeah. Okay, Anna. Yes, you see, when you simulate this process of down decomposition, carbon and nitrogen, you simulate basically how much nitrogen is released or disappeared from the material itself. And then, from a, let's say, model validation point of view, you need to basically collect all the nitrogen that is released from the material. But then from all experiment, since it is not a closed system, then when you take soil samples, you are not 100% sure that all the nitrogen is captured within the sample. So that's why you see for validation of nitrogen decomposition, people have used this washing or things. You collect all the nitrogen that is released from sample in order to make a mass balance good enough. Yeah. So that's kind of a challenge for the field study to validate this model simulation. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, indeed, it's a complex, and what I understand is that, let's say, they do their work, I mean, the Beatles, but the final role can be tricky to interpret, because, depending on the state you look at the process, and depending on what they do, and what's the overall outcome of their functions, yes.
Did you monitor moisture content of the dog and your student design?
And who can answer this question? The moisture of dog.
Considerably more precipitation throughout the middle stage of the experiment. So this, the past were moisture in June, but I looked at precipitation data from 2015, but it appeared to me that July, like we saw a considerable drop off in precipitation in July, the past was drier in July, but this year the dome or the precipitation is more evenly distributed across the entire growing season. So I suspect that the past won't be discrepancy like that this year.
Could you model the dome that pump the functional sensor and moisture content and then allow moisture content to change in function?
So when the things are drier.
Yeah, I believe in order to simulate the down decomposition processes, indeed, moisture should be kind of a part of factor. But the tricky part is, with the same moisture content, the speed can be limited or cannot be, or is not limited, depending on the material, the substrate itself. Early on, it can be limited because otherwise it can decompose much faster. But later, it may not be a problem because the substrate itself has become more resistant. And then, yeah, the moisture or oxygen, yeah, may not be affected at all. So this is a very tricky part, but again, this is a very good opportunity to look into this matter. Actually, the graph on the right can be very useful for this matter because that one describes the decomposability of the material over time. Or actually, the time can also indicate how much material is present at that time, or how much is left. So actually, we should indeed look at the K value at the different stages, and then to relate the environment condition, including temperature and the moisture content of the dung itself, to the K value. And then from there to do the simulation instead of directly through this function. Actually, this function actually is just kind of a mathematical transformation, of course. So to do a better job, you need to first calculate the K value and put the K value into there to replace the right part of the equation. Yeah, that is a neater way of doing it.